Moments with Moses, episode 6. Shur, Mara, and Elim. Number 1, barrenness. Number 2, bitterness. Number 3, blessedness. We're in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. It was John Newton who wrote the world-famous hymn, Amazing Grace. He knew what it was like to scale the heights of emotion and devotion. He also knew what it was like to plumb the depths of despair and of frustration. He wrote this hymn. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me so to pray, and he I trust has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yes, more. With his own hand, he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair design I schemed, and blasted me and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Will you pursue this worm to death? 'Tis in this way. The Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set you free and break your earthly schemes of earthly joy so you may find your all in me. Isn't that true? Sometimes we're on the mountaintop of devotion and affection. Other times we wake up and we're struggling so much. Why are you doing this, Lord? Why don't you deliver me, Lord? What are you up to? Ever felt that way? Of course, Moses felt that way. Remember what happened last week. Tell my people, go forward. Remember the miracle? That corridor. The walls of water. That pathway of power. Walking through the sea of reeds. Getting to the other side. Seeing the Egyptians. You will see them no more as the waters cascade upon them. Do you know what happened next? There is the song of Moses. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has cast into the sea. The Lord, he is my strength and song. He is now my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, the God who does wonders. And then at the end, Miriam, the prophetess, comes out with all the women, and they've got their tambourines in their hands, and they're swaying, and they're singing, and they're playing their tambourines, and they're singing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. It's all about deliverance. And yet in the very next verse, there is despair. From celebration, they move to desperation. Number 1, this is about barrenness. For they're in the wilderness of Shur. Here's what the Bible says. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. From celebration to desperation. 3 days have passed by, and they're now in the most barren, rocky, hostile place on earth. Moses could have gone north by the way of the sea, but he goes south. He's heading for Sinai, to Mount Horeb. He will receive the law of God. 3 days have gone by. Usually in our culture, you could survive for 5 days without water. But it's Nisan. And in the desert, in the Sinai desert, it is 100 degrees. And soon, they begin to wilt. It's a hostile, arid, inhospitable, wild, bare, bleak, desperate place. Scorching sun, sandstorms, blistered feet, cracked lips, parched throats. And as they're walking around, it seems as if it's a treeless, lifeless, and certainly waterless place. Dehydration sets in. Have you ever been dehydrated? Do you know how it feels? You feel weak in the knees, don't you? You feel nausea. You want to be sick. Your head's spinning. There's no water. We're exhausted here in this barren wilderness. Barrenness. Number two, it's about bitterness. Because they reach the water of Marah. And this part from verse 23 to 26 speaks about the water, the murmur, the cry, the tree, the test, the word, and the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Marah means bitter. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What should we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There, the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer." You can visit the waters of Marah today. As you approach, they look very beautiful and very still. And if you were thirsty, you couldn't wait to dive in. But as you get there, you find that these waters are laced with calcium and magnesium and other chemicals. And the Bedouins say, a teaspoon or two, you spend a week on the loo. What have you done? Can you picture the scene? Perhaps they think there's some palm trees at last. There must be an oasis. Yes, there's a water. They run. Perhaps the young people ran first. They're getting down there. They're lifting and scooping up the... And the stomach cramps. And they're vomiting it out. What have you done? Where have you brought us to? Remember, Moses had spent 40 years in the Sinai desert. He knew every water hole. Why have you brought us here? Why have you come this way? What are we going to drink? This water is bitter. And the people murmur. They murmur because they're disappointed and they're frustrated and they're angry. We were better off back in Egypt. At least the Nile was there. Look what Moses does. He doesn't panic. He goes to God and he cries out to the Lord. He cried to the Lord. Lord, step in. Lord, do something here. Lord, show us your will and purpose. Lord, teach us the lessons we need to learn. After the cry, there is the tree or the log. If you go to these water holes where there's calcium and magnesium and other chemicals, nearby there is the mangrove tree, translated sometimes as Torah, meaning teaching. The tree that teaches. And you put this log into the water. And what happens is the calcium and the magnesium and the chemicals sink to the bottom. And the water is able, you're able to drink that water. Literally the sap saps up and causes the minerals to precipitate and sink. Then there's the test. Because this is what your Bible says. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer. This is a test, Moses. And here is the word, Moses, for my people. Listen diligently to my voice. Do what is right in my eyes. Give ear to my commandments. Keep all my statutes. And I will reveal myself to you as the Lord who heals you. None of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians will you have. Bitterness. Thirdly, this is about blessedness. For we come to the oasis of Elim, where they're revived and refreshed. Listen to what the Bible says. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. At these bitter waters, as the log comes in, they scoop out some water. Yes, it would affect them as a laxative, that's for sure. But they're able to move on until they come to this beautiful oasis of Elim. And there they find that there are 12 springs of water, 70 palm trees. They get there, they pitch their tents, they're going to stay there, they're going to be revived there, they're going to be refreshed there, they're going to have recreation. Literally, there's going to be a recreation as they camp at Elim. And blessing and refreshment and revival will be theirs. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one, expect difficult times. Do not believe the forked tongue of the false prophet who tells you when you come to Christ, when you walk the narrow way, when you commit yourself, having been delivered, not just by a corridor, but delivered by the mighty power of the risen Christ. When you come to know him and know that his blood has cleansed you from your sin, know that he's been risen for your justification and you're forgiven and ransomed and healed and restored and forgiven. Don't think that in this journey towards heaven, it's all going to be fine and dandy. We are not unbiblical triumphalists. For one thing, the Bible tells us about the world and the flesh and the devil. And all of us know about that. Another thing, you know that there are difficult circumstances we face with other Christians. Christians who won't speak to you. Christians who won't reconcile with you. Christians who fail you and let you down. Christians who say things they shouldn't say and do things they shouldn't do. We know that is a fact of life. But also, friends, there is this mystery of God's providence. Why is this happening to me now? What are you trying to teach me through this? I didn't expect my marriage to be broken. I didn't expect to lose my job. I didn't expect to be struck down with cancer. I didn't expect my children to die. I didn't expect this sort of opposition and difficulty, blow after blow after blow, when I'm seeking to walk the narrow way, when I'm praying every day. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, who will not backbite with his tongue nor do evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors those who fear the Lord. I'm seeking to walk uprightly. I'm seeking to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the shoes of gospel peace. I'm seeking every day to take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the weapon of all prayer. Yet blow after blow after blow are coming my way. I'm praying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit. But blow after blow after blow comes your way. Isn't that right? The mystery of God's providence. Difficult times will come. The King of Kings was called the Man of Sorrows, acquainted with grief. He said, no servant is greater than his master. If they hate the master, they will hate you. Expect difficult times. Number two, look for purpose in your pain. There might be a couple of people in this room who'll know whom I'm talking about. There was a beautiful, outstanding, spirit-filled Christian by the name of Ruth Staley. She opened her home. All her children walked the narrow way. She supported missionaries right throughout her life. And when she was relatively young, she was struck down with cancer. I was a young pastor at the time. I remember going to visit her. and saying, Ruth, I'm praying for you. And this is what she said. What are you praying for? I was taken aback. I'm praying, if it's the Lord's will, that he'll touch your body or heal you. And this is what she said. Bill, pray that I won't miss what God is teaching me through this. I want to remind you that God is about to change the whole diet of his people. He's about to feed them with manna. They've been used to leeks and onions and melons. Not only so, remember the people of God have come from that place where there's been boils and flies and lice and death and a stinking river and dead frogs. Remember that even to this day, 80% of the people who live near the Nile Delta have infections and have parasites in their body. As they came to these waters of Mara, that magnesium, that calcium would purge their body. God knows what he is doing. And it would be the purging of their body. Not only so, though, those of you who are sportsmen and sportswomen, you will have heard of the drug Dolomite. They give it to all the athletes who are performing in hot weather. When football teams go and play in the summer, in blistering heat, they give them Dolomite tablets made up of magnesium and calcium. Why? Because it prepares the body for heat and allows the muscles to be exercised in the midst of heat. God knows what he is doing. There will be a purging. There will be a preparing for the journey ahead. You and I must look for purpose in our pain. You and I must be humbled under his mighty hand and be prepared to learn the lessons he wants to teach us. Remember, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your law. That was the whole purpose of the test. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to keep my law. I want you to do my will. I want you to prove me as the God who heals. If you follow my way and do my will and obey my voice, then I will keep these things from you. There is always purpose in our pain. Always. If we're willing to ask the Lord to show us, to teach us, to humble us, to refine us, to conform us more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to prepare us for glory. Lesson number 3, cry for the living God. Water. You see, the picture of them at Elim, that place of revival, that place of refreshment, that place of restoration and recreation. Do you remember what the Bible says in John chapter 4? Remember how that lady there at Sychar's well, as empty as her water pots, nobody will speak to her. Jesus goes and speaks to her. Asks her to draw the water. Listen to what Jesus says. If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him and he would give you living water. Listen to what Jesus said. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 7 at the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember how he raises his voice on the last day of the feast, verse 37 of chapter 7 of John. That great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Those Elim springs speak to us clearly of the work, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Spirit which springs up eternal life in our souls. And we are to cry for that living water. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Bend me, break me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that hymn by the Gettys. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. What a title that is. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Cause that breath, that wind to blow upon us, that fire to burn within us, that anointing to anoint us and conform us more and more to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Take those lessons and cry for the Holy Spirit to fill you. This in the Bible, this is called in the Bible a means of grace. And in the Bible it says, this means of grace can either be a savor of life to our souls or a savor of death to our souls. I don't call upon you to come to this means of grace. I call upon you with every fiber of my being to come tonight to the fountainhead of all grace and receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as by his Holy Spirit he baptizes us afresh, immerses us afresh, fills us afresh, and gives us power for the rest of the journey. Let's stand and sing.